Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations among other Internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. Today is Friday, February 1st, 2008. And now it's a great time to listen to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Martha Trowbridge in Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
We're going to get good at saying, we have to still get a song or some way we mutually come out and say hello, right, Martha?
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. So I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, and with me from snowy, icy Vermont is Martha Trowbridge, and we have a very...
Oh, Barbara, did we lose you?
Hello?
Yes. Yes. Are you there?
Yes.
All of a sudden, it sounded like we lost you.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Now we can hear you.
All right.
You know, Barbara, you might want to check with Lillian to see if the recording closed down. That might have been, there was sort of a disconnect.
Martha, do you want to check on that? And
well,
I could go
I'll
ahead
hang up.
And...
Okay.
And then you could call back in
I'll
a couple of minutes.
I'll call back in. Okay.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Great. Thank you. All right, so we're going to take command of this and forge on ahead, because the great thing about Happiness for Women Only is it's archived on the web, and we want to make sure that we can get to our topic and our special guest. So the topic today is coming back to our power again and again. My special guest is Dr. Dorothy M. Nettermeyer. I'm going to come back in a minute, Dorothy, and give the audience a little bit of your background and bring you in.
Certainly, thanks.
Okay. Right now, what I want to review is that we've been doing some shows on power and how if you have some power as a woman and also as a girl, you're well on your way to happiness. If you're trying to be happy and you don't have a sense of power and you don't know how to use power, and by that I mean finding ways to meet your needs and to get done what you need to accomplish and to navigate in your life successfully, then you're certainly not going to have as good a shot at happiness as we want for you. Now, most women and sometimes even girls are aware of certain painful circumstances. I'll never forget the woman who said to me, that and 10 cents will get you a cup of coffee. And that was a remark made to her by a husband after she had come up with an exciting idea for a work project. She never forgot it either and eventually left the husband. He had taken her power right out of her. Perhaps never could they come together again, although there were hundreds of factors. But he certainly didn't know how to be very encouraging. And I'll also never forget my mother, who was told when she was a girl growing up, you're dumb but beautiful. And somehow in the family that was supposed to be a power remark. Well, it certainly was a mixed remark that led to her struggling with her own competency for many years until, thank goodness, she married a man, my father, who was an educator, gave her an IQ test, turned out that she was very smart, and with his encouragement went to college and became a teacher for many, many years. Having said those two things, let me go back and tell you why I invited Dr. Dorothy M. Nettermeyer on today. She is a woman with 33 years experience healing in the personal development field, peak performance fields. She has a unique process to create your dynamic future. This process teaches people how to consciously access their innate power, to both heal illnesses and blockages, and to create unlimited success. She's the author of several books. One is If I'd Only Known, Sexual Abuse in or Out of the Family, A Guide to Prevention. She has a unique gift connecting with people and a broad range of profound principles that resonate in the deepest part of their being. She brings awareness to concepts not typically obvious to one's daily thoughts and feelings. I love this, Dorothy, and I consider myself in the same ballpark. I always like to deal with very subtle things that bother people, and I think this is great. So welcome. Come aboard.
Thank you very much, and I'm glad that what I said resonates with you and your group. And because that means then that I am hitting the mark when I go out and talk to people, that empowerment or power is the key to achieving what we want to achieve. And I think one thing that we forget is that although it seems like the quality of power rises from a place of firm determination, and maybe a will to succeed no matter the cost, it really is within us. We are empowered to begin with. We let people take it away from you, just like you mentioned that this woman's husband said to her that 10 cents, that in 10 cents will get you a cup of coffee. And she allowed him to disempower her temporarily maybe because then she decided he wasn't what she wanted and moved on.
Right, and the words were falling out of my mouth, I was thinking that indeed she allowed it rather than he took it. But unfortunately, once we're beaten down and we've had a lot of criticisms and we've had people who are trying to somehow hold us at bay rather than let us develop and flower, it is impossible to even feel that we're actually allowing it.
Correct.
Think we have to even get some strength before we can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, I just want to check, did Martha get back on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. So we have my co-host, Martha Trowbridge. Dorothy, you prepared a couple of case studies for us about women struggling with power. I wonder, if you could just share one of the case studies, make her alive a little bit. And then from both perspectives of Martha, who's dealt with a great many of women who have sustained abuse, and myself with my Enchanted Self principles, my Seven Gateways to Happiness, and you with your techniques, we could chat a little bit.
Sure. Well, I think one thing that we oftentimes think that women who have achieved high levels of success, maybe in business or in their personal life or both, we don't think of them as having any struggles. We just watch them and we think, wow, they're really all together. And so that's why I chose one of the clients that I worked with a few years ago. She was 70 years old then and a VP in her company. She had a history of being in relationships with passive-aggressive men, and she wanted to change that pattern at 70 years old. Good for her. She was always disappointed and unsure of herself every time one of her relationships broke up, and this was her fifth long-term relationship. And so she came to me and said, I've got to stop this pattern. I don't want to be alone the rest of my life, but I don't want to be with passive-aggressive men either.
Dorothy, excuse me, may I ask, did this client ever marry, or were these mainly...
Yes, she did marry, but then the other subsequent relationships were long-term but not marriage.
I see. Okay. How long was she married, do you recall?
The first one, she was married 20-plus years.
Oh, my.
And then a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a long time, and she raised two delightful children, and... then she came to a place in her life where her children were grown and on their own, and she wanted to have a relationship, and the relationship that she was in and had been in for over a year was not really working to her satisfaction because it was a passive-aggressive relationship where he would be passive and then turn around and be aggressive with her in terms of that and a dime will get you a cup of coffee kind of response. So in looking at her history, which we always got to a place where we are now with the history, she was the oldest of four children, and she had been a surrogate mother to her two younger brothers. Due to her parents' social life and busy life, they were very successful professional people and had a very busy social life. And what she did was she accepted men into her life who were emotionally needy, because that's how she experienced herself, as being the one that needed to be there to be the caretaker. And so she didn't realize that she needed to set boundaries and simply say, no, that's not acceptable. She would work at making it okay in the relationship. So once she discovered that, wow, that was a big eye-opener for her, that you can set boundaries, you can say no, that you don't need to be the one to make everything okay for the relationship. It's a mutual effort rather than the woman being the one to make it all right all the time. And so what we did was we looked at what were the signs that she missed in the dating process. And I'm convinced that during the dating process, you can tell by the third date where the pitfalls are. And you either need to say, okay, that needs to change, or I'm out of here. That's not something I'm willing to deal with. And some of them can be very subtle. Others can be almost like being hit over the head. And women sometimes still say, oh, well, I can handle this. I can deal with this.
So it's key to be analytic when you first start dating someone, as opposed to just letting your heartstrings pull you along in a relationship.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. You need to ask questions. Being analytic or being aware of what's going on and the implications.
Observant.
Observant is right.
Yes. Right.
And one of the biggest things that women miss, and of course in the age of sexual freedom that we thought was what we had to have, is that needy men want to have sex on the first or second date.
Only needy men?
Yeah.
I'm teasing.
Yeah.
I'm teasing, Dorothy.
I know, because they all want sex on the first or second date, don't they?
Maybe you mean whether a man will, you know, play along, let's say, and get to know you and enjoy the date, going to a play, movie, whatever, and put his own needs a little bit secondary.
Well, it's not his own needs. It's neediness that prompts him to want to get into the sex thing to make himself feel better. Versus a man who is not needy wants to make darn sure that before he gets involved with this woman, he wants to make sure she's good enough for him.
Right.
Whereas needy men, as long as you're breathing and you look good on his arm, they're going to see if they can manipulate you, maneuver you, charm you.
Well, this calls to mind, Dorothy, also the men who are out to make conquests. They'll date you, rush you, try to get you into bed, and then move on.
Well, those are passive-aggressive men.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Aggressive, hostile thing to do.
It sure is. And then they won't talk to you the next day after you go to bed with them.
Absolutely. Oh, I'll respect you in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and they wink.
Yeah.
But the wink is very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to focus on the sex thing, but what I want to point out is that that's one of the areas that more often than not women overlook, because they think, well, we have sexual freedom. I enjoy sex. He enjoys sex. So what's wrong with that?
Mm.
But what you're doing is setting it up that you haven't set any boundaries that are critical boundaries, because guys, and now that guys have gotten on to this thing where women have said, okay, we won't have sex until after the fourth date. So they rush you into having the fourth date within 2 weeks.
Is that the new standard, the fourth day?
Uh-huh. Oh, I've heard it from men.
What a riot. I've been married for a while, so I've been out of the loop.
Okay. Well, they rush you within, it's called a full court press.
Oh, my goodness.
They press you into having four dates within 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, wow, he's really into me. It's very exciting. He's so romantic. Because they know that women have set this boundary that after the fourth date or on the fourth date, they will have sex. So, hey, I'll have sex within 2 weeks. I've got got that window of opportunity.
Well, there's always a struggle in dating anyway because women are looking for a kind of soulmate and deep conversation, and very often men are, even those who are looking far beyond sex, are looking for companionship that functions more from the male point of view. And, you know, we hardly ever meet anyway, even once we've married successfully.
Right, absolutely.
So it certainly is kind of a crazy ball game when you're dating. I know for me, when I was dating, well, now I'm very hurt because I thought all these men wanted me, you know, because I was just the most marvelous young woman that existed. But as I pushed all these men away and finally was dating my husband, I was looking at his family background very carefully because my mother, I think very wisely, had told me, first of all, if you want to know what he's going to look like as he ages, look at his parents.
Right.
And if you want to know what you're going to be, what money will be like, you know, how you will live, what he'll react to things, look in the family and see the structure, see what's going on already. And the major thing I saw was that my mother-in-law was successful in the international world of charity. And although I had aspirations to be a professional woman rather than at the charity level, I thought that was a very good sign. And
good. I think one of the things that women forget to do, and that's to ask questions.
Right.
We need to ask questions and then watch how they react to answering that question, whether they seem to be reluctant to answer it, whether they only or they answer a different question than the one you asked, or if they just give you a little bit of information and then want to close out the conversation.
Well, Dorothy, as you speak, I'm thinking that part of the difficulty may be women can feel desperate, feel, oh my gosh, if I don't snag this guy, there might not be anyone down the line, and that may cause us to sort of close our eyes or tolerate things that we really should not tolerate.
Absolutely. We women, and again, that's because we don't believe that we are empowered to have what we choose to have.
Or that these marvelous men don't exist. I mean, I think if you meet up with one after another man who does not treat you well, you start to believe, well, there'll never be anyone better than this. And I hear that routinely from a lot of women, that,
yes,
well, you know, we all have to put up with something, and all these excuses are made and rationalizations.
Absolutely. And then a year down the road, we're sick to death of the very thing that we thought we were going to just ignore.
Yeah.
And so by the third date, the men have given us red flags, is what I call them, that here's the way they're going to treat you once the honeymoon period is over, or once the dating process has, or the relationship has been solidified. And it can be very, very subtle, or it can be very blatant. And it's amazing how often we allow ourselves to think that, well, he won't be that way with me because I'm different than the other women that he dated or were married to.
Or I mean more to him, so he'll behave better with me.
Exactly.
That kind of thinking. Have you compiled a checklist of things to look for that would be helpful for women? Perhaps they could go to your website.
I don't have them on my website, but I do have a checklist. I just listed a few of them for today because it can get a little overwhelming. But I think one of the key things is would you say that to somebody when somebody says something to you? Or if you're saying he says something and it startles you, like, whoa, where's that coming from? That's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put down all the words that he might say. For example, one client I had, the guy said he had ruined every relationship he'd ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her point blank, and this was on the first or second date, I can't remember which, and I said to her point blank, he's giving you a warning. He's warning you that that's what's going to happen to you, and you can continue to date this guy or you can get out now before he starts beating up on you. Well, P.S., she decided to continue to date him, and within a few weeks, he was starting to emotionally abuse her.
Wow.
And so then she said, okay, it's like now I can believe you because there it is right in front of my eyes that he meant what he said.
So learning to read the red flags is really, really important. However, I think that very often this is where we genuinely need some counseling or psychotherapy because we're not going to necessarily recognize the red flags if they're also repetitions from the families we come from.
Oh, I agree. And this is why this late woman who it was a repetition for her because she had been a surrogate parent to her brothers, and it was like, well, this is just guy behavior because she was remembering how her brothers behaved.
Well, that's what she knew.
And that's what she knew.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, at that age, the age that her brothers were, it was appropriate for them to need a lot. But she just thought it was a guy thing. This is just the way guys are. And they're taller now. You know, the old adage, you can tell the age of the guy by the toys he plays with or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we also need to listen to our inner voice, and that's one of the things that we tend to not do, listening to our gut, listening to what's being said and how we're reacting to it rather than explaining it away, rationalizing it.
So it's important to really get in touch with our secondary brains, which oftentimes people have tried to knock out of us, except to have us eat too much food,
mm-hmm.
you know, growing up, that the secondary brain in the pit of our stomachs often really is very intuitive and picks up on so much information.
Absolutely. If it doesn't sit right, if it doesn't digest right, then there's something there, and you need to discover what it truly is. So you need to ask questions. And again, if the answers that you get back don't gel or they don't make sense, then this is a red flag. And the other thing I think that's very important is to listen to how he explains how his other relationships have not worked out.
Good point.
And granted, men can have horrible connections with women, meaning that the woman has the bigger share of the reason the relationship didn't work out. I don't want to make it sound like all guys are bad and all women are innocent of any relationship faux pas. That's not true. However, if the guy doesn't take any responsibility for the breakup, then you know that he is got issues there that he's not looking at. Because even in the worst relationship, the other partner has some peace in it.
Right. Going back to the power, getting our power back and again, obviously this woman you talked about tried to get her power back a number of times. What was the result as she finished therapy with you?
Well, she felt very strong and grounded and empowered, and she had tools then to use, and she had things to remind herself, You know, like there's little reminders. Oh, when I do this, I know I'm in my rescue mode. So then when she saw herself doing that, she could stop and she could say, wait a minute, this is not where I want to head. I can stop that and set a boundary. And saying no is not going to lose your relationship.
Now, did she break up with the fellow she was seeing?
Yes, she did. She was in the process of, quote, breaking up with him when she came to therapy. And during the process, she did break up with him and started dating someone else. And the last I heard, they were still together, and this was like 2 years ago.
Very interesting.
And I would assume that that if she needed more help, she would give me a call because she knows, you know, she knows where I am.
Right.
So I can't tell you whether she is living happily ever after, but she certainly was in another relationship that she was practicing her new skills and practicing setting boundaries and saying no and making requests rather than only getting what she was given versus this is the way I want things. Because we don't tend to do that a lot of times. We tend to acquiesce to what the man wants, and then we make it work around work it around to make it work.
Well, there, I think there are, Dorothy, there are so many factors that come into play that drive women to behave like that. There are so many pressures upon us, especially if we're financially dependent, if we're mothers of children at a young age. There are so many stressors we face that sort of hurt us into putting everybody else ahead of us and repressing our own needs.
Right, and that's totally unfortunate. And I think what we need to do is get back to ourselves. And that is we need to see ourselves as empowered intrinsically versus extrinsically, meaning we're empowered inside ourselves. And what really, truly propels women's confidence is their capacity to listen to who they truly are and being able to call on that intuitive. Needs to do is be in touch with her insight, because we tend to have insight that men may not intrinsically use because they have it, they just don't use it. Because they've been given, a society, if you will, has given men the power role, and women have been given the supporting role.
Right, right. This is so fascinating. Wow. It just... it's almost too much to process in terms of thinking for myself around my work and what I try to teach and also Martha's work. Martha, tell the name of your book that so parallels what Dorothy's talking about.
Oh, yes, Dorothy, I write Inspiration for Women in Crisis, and by that I mean depressed, traumatized, grief-stricken, agonized, whatever, mental and emotional agonies.
Mm-hmm.
And the book to which, now, Barbara, are you referring to the first one or the second one?
I think the first one.
Oh, The Woman You Were Born to Be.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Oh,
isn't
thank
that a
you.
Great title?
Oh, that's super. That's perfect.
Oh, thank you so
we
much.
We were all born to be who we truly are, and then we get pulled away from who we truly are.
That's
we
right.
Sure do. Mm-hmm.
And then the title of my first book is The Enchanted Self of Positive Therapy. And the enchanted self means recapturing the essence and the authenticity of who you are.
Correct.
And experiencing genuine happiness with yourself and with the world around you.
Right.
And learning how to repeat that happiness.
Yes, and sustain it.
Exactly.
It's important.
Right.
Yes.
So
and we need to give ourselves permission, if you will, and it is permission because we've been told that that isn't our right, and then we need to give ourselves, we just need to go back and say, I have rights. I am a woman who has rights to be the person I was born to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's often very helpful to connect with other women, whether it's physically, you know, in a sort of a hanging out kind of pattern, or through the internet or through the phone, connect with other women who are striving to do exactly what you're trying to do for yourself, and also find role models you can look
right.
to. I found that very helpful in the last year or two. There are some women I admire enormously because of their strength.
Mm-hmm.
And strength in a positive way, and their commitment to themselves and their vision. And I often say to myself when it's decision-making time, now, so-and-so, one of my guests a few weeks ago, Elise Cherry, I would say to myself, now, Elise would look at the problem this way. And it's really been very helpful to frame things that way.
Mm.
Sure.
Yes, having a role model, and believe it or not, one of my role models when I was growing up was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, what a wonderful woman.
Yes, she was ahead of her time.
Oh, my gosh.
And I never met her. She started writing a column in McCall's magazine, which is now no longer in print.
No.
But at 9 years old, I started reading her column.
What a great inspiration. And look what she suffered with that husband of hers.
Oh, absolutely.
Insults. My gosh.
And with her mother-in-law.
Yes.
And so she was my role model.
And she was able to be strong in her own right and find the wherewithal to continue with her work despite her personal challenges.
Absolutely. So I think even though you never meet this person, if they are visible, they can be a role model, if they're visible in some way. Now, she had her radio program. I think she wrote the McCall's Magazine column first and then got the radio program, but I'm not 100% sure. And so I would hear her on the radio, and I would read her column and hear her being interviewed on radio. Of course, you can tell how old I am.
Well, we're all there, Dorothy. Well, now, did she not end her life as an ambassador? Was she not an ambassador
Yes, she was an ambassador after her husband left the presidency, and I believe maybe it was after he died.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And my role model for much of my adult life has been Isadora Duncan, who freed women bodily the same way I've been attempting to free their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she took off, you know, the corset and all the restrictions of clothing to allow women to move and flow again after the societal restrictions for so many hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing to be able to help a woman feel free inside again. And once you feel free, I think you're not frightened that someone's going to take away your power.
Right. Well, so, I think we need to also remember that no one can take anything away from us unless, and this is a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, and I don't know if I'm quoting it or just paraphrasing it. No one can make you feel bad unless you give them permission to make you feel bad.
Let's hope that we have the strength to not give people permission to make us feel bad, because it's just so sad and not worth it. And we have to get on with our lives and what we're born to do.
Right.
We have gone over time, although Lillian is always so generous.
Yeah.
But we should say thank you and goodbye.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I've enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Now, just very quickly, how can people find you?
They can find me on my website at the three W's, drdorothy.net. And my email address is dorothyned@gmail.com.
Excellent. And Martha and I will be back next time, and you can find me at enchantedself.com. That's one word, enchantedself.com. And you can find my new book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. And Martha, go ahead.
Oh, MarthaTrowbridge.org, and thanks so much for listening. And thank you, Dorothy.
And
wonderful.
Thank you. I've enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you. We'd love to have you back again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You've just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Martha Trowbridge and Happiness for Women Only. And if you would like to hear them all over again with their guest, Dorothy, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. Left-hand side of the page is the word archives. Click on that. A list of names will appear, Dr. Holstein's among them. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And Stanislav Andreski said, original thoughts can be understood only in virtue of the unoriginal elements which they contain. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. Our next scheduled program begins at 3:30 with Holly Campbell and What a Woman Can Do. I hope you can join it. And then this Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so we're going to have Book Bonanza with Sean. So please don't miss it. Thank you very much for listening, and remember, keep listening.